Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Now, we are starting a bit of a new train of thought, series, theme. You pick your way of saying it. And we called it, this is across the church, all the different congregations in the region. And we might go slightly at different pace depending on what's appropriate for the locality. Thank you, Rory. Your blessing. let's appreciate Rory. Woo! He's a blessing. But we want to kick it off with asking a question that will kind of be the thread through. And Kurt, if you can hit the title slate. And then can you get rid of the... Oh, perfect. No, yeah, go back. There we are. Spiritual formation. And the subtitle is, who are you becoming? Just let those words sink in. Now, actually, you can answer these questions even if you don't say, I'm a Christian or I believe in God. I'm just reading this book. Oh, Dan, can you get me the book? I started reading this book from an author called John Mark Comer. I don't know if you've read his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. This is the latest one. This is not an advert. I'm just sharing my journey. And this is mine, so don't buy it. You can't buy that. Anyways, and it's called Practicing the Way. And I go into that more later. But he's talking about spiritual formation. But first he says, anyone's being shaped and formed by things. You can listen to the news. You can have, you know, who are you following on a social media? All those ideas, all those things will shape your ideas, your worldview, your how you are, your character, depending on who you hang around with, will shape who you are and what you become and stuff like that. So, but spiritual formation, who are you becoming? And in a minute, I will just spend some time for us to think about. So if we're followers of Jesus, what does that mean? How are we being formed? And is that just going to happen to us? Or is there a few things where we just need to be a bit intentional if we want to become like that? So spiritual formation, who are you becoming? I've got a question slate. Kurt, if you can bring up the next one. So here's some questions. Can you read them? Or is that too small for you at the back? So you can think about that. Who or what is shaping your life? What kind of people? Who are you giving a voice to? What kind of ideas? Who or what are you following? I know that sounds like social media. It's not actually just meant for that, but who are you following? Who are you? I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear, is that can be family, that can be friends, political things, obviously social media stuff, artists, musicians, all that kind of thing. Who are you becoming? And then we were joking earlier and saying, you know, in 20 years' time, what kind of person will you be? Well, I can tell you a little bit what you're going to be like, looking at, not that I know all your circumstances, but looking at who you're spending time with, what you're getting into, what you're intentional about, and what you're just like, let's just see how life goes and what happens. But I don't know about you. I want to be intentional. I don't want to just let life happen to me and, you know, in 5 years, I don't know. No, I want to be intentional. And Jesus was intentional. He was very intentional. And he actually encouraged us to be intentional with how we want to become like, who we want to be like. So yeah, again, just mentioning this book, he makes a very interesting statement in the first few chapters on the first bit where he says, you know, a lot of people call themselves Christians. What does that mean? What do you think that means? What do you think it means to be a Christian? Maybe you are a Christian, maybe you're not. What does it mean? Can you shout it out? What does it mean to be a Christian? Christ-like. Yeah, so at first that term was used as in a negative way. What else do you think? What does it mean to be a Christian? What do you think it means? Yeah, to believe and trust something you can't see maybe, or yeah, very good, something. Relationship with God. Someone who puts their trust in Jesus, yeah. As the way, the truth, and the life, you could say, you know, he is the way to the Father, he said. Let me throw another word out there. What is a disciple? Frank's smiling. Yeah. To be an ambassador of Christ. Yeah, an example. Yeah. Yeah, when they look at you, what do they see? Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. Right, someone is disciplined. Okay, Frank gives a food for thought. Well, let's just you know, have your own thoughts as well. It's funny that in Jesus' day and age, you know, quite a few years ago, 2,000 years ago, he didn't actually say, and I don't think that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but he didn't say to the crowd when he fed the 5,000, right? He didn't say, who wants to become a Christian? You can say the prayer and everything will be different, and then he disappeared. What did he say? He said, come follow me. I'm just letting it sink in. So I'm happy for us to say we're Christians, okay? Don't get me wrong. And that's good to pray the prayer. I helped someone a couple of weeks ago, a friend of Rory's. We sat down and we explained some things, and then we prayed a prayer. And he was like, I don't know what to pray. And I was like, okay, I don't usually do this, but okay, repeat after me. And do you know what we're doing? Kind of thing. And then he said, how can I know more? But the point I'm making is, and he's quite good at explaining it, a little bit kind of, you need to think when you're reading this. But the point he's making is Jesus doesn't just want a confession and then I just do what I like now. I just do my own thing. Jesus actually said, come follow me. Come follow the way I live, the way I walk, the way I talk, how I am with people. Discipleship is, and this is his subtitle, I tried not to read it, give it away earlier. Be with Jesus, become like him. A few of you said this already. And then do as he did. So to be a Christian might mean to you, I go to church. Some people say that, oh, a Christian is you go to church. I don't know what happens to you at church. Okay, that's another thing. You just attend. Fine. No. Actually, what Jesus said was, come follow me on this life's journey of coming to know him. He was always pointing to the Father. So he was saying, come on a journey of discovering who God is. Come follow me. And that means wherever you're at, you might be fishing, you might be doing your work, you might be doing your business. And actually those fishermen, they weren't picked by others because there were other rabbis that had disciples, but they weren't picked. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you feel like you were picked in society. Maybe you feel like, oh, they didn't pick me. Well, Jesus went to those kind of people and says, come follow me. But who else did he pick? He didn't just pick fishermen, which is fine, we know that. He also picked the tax collectors. And they didn't really like each other. So if you sit someone you don't like next to someone you don't like this morning, it's okay. Jesus says to all of us, come follow me, come. So whether you're a tax collector or hated by others, outcast of society, you betrayed your people, that's kind of the kind of people they were, Jesus still says, come. If you're willing, come follow me. Also to the fishermen. And then he said it to some people who were genuinely trying to live out kind of their faith and stuff in that kind of culture. And he also said to them, come follow me. Come follow me. Come just join me. Now, practically that meant physically following Jesus. So it says they threw down their nets. They left everything behind. Now, we talked about that a few weeks ago. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. They dropped it. They left the Father's business, the future that was mapped out for them. And said, okay, Jesus, I physically follow you to, I don't know, Jerusalem or Jericho, wherever they were walking. And today, he might not be physically walking with you, but he's still here by his Spirit. So Jesus says, just before he's going to the cross, he says, I will leave you, but I will ask the Father and he will send you another one. And the Greek there is another one exactly like me. So it's not second class. It's not, oh, I wish Jesus you were here, but you're not. But he's actually saying, no, I'll send you someone, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the one who stands by you. Those are kind of words that are used for him. And he's exactly like me and he will be with you until the end. He'll be always with you. But also the good thing about him is he's going to be everywhere. So you can hear this message in Worthing. You can hear this message in South America or wherever. The Holy Spirit's always with you now. If we had a physical Jesus, he'd be either here or over there. But the Holy Spirit is with us now. And what God wants to do is says, come follow me. So what does that mean? So we also need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? But let's go back. So Jesus said, come follow me. They physically follow him. Where did they go? They went all sorts of places. They went to weddings. Anyone been to a wedding recently? Want to go to a wedding? Yes, Frank. They did life together. They did go to the synagogue, right? That was the religious place that Jesus would then stand up on the Sabbath and speak, and they did go to those places and they had quite a few troubles in those places. But they also just went about normal life. They went to weddings. What happened at weddings? So they are following Jesus, right? They're watching. So I want to be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. Jesus is sorting out practical problems they have. They're running out of wine. What does Jesus do? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you ran out of wine. Should we go down to Tesco or something? I wonder if he had a club card. I have a club card. Anyways, I shouldn't make adverts here. I also have other club cards from other places, so just for the record. No, what does Jesus do? He says, okay, he knows he's got, you know, miraculous power. So he says, okay, you know, fill these jugs with water. They're like, this is ridiculous. Okay, fine, let's just do it. Fill them with water, hand it to the one who's tasting the wine. And he's like, oh my goodness, this is different. A miracle just happened. But think about being one of the disciples now. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. This is crazy. I can't do that. But the goal is not, am I there yet? Look at me. No, the goal is, I want to be with you, Jesus. I just saw you did something. I wonder how that works. I want to do that too. I'm not advocating wine either, even though I do enjoy it. But it's the point of Jesus in everyday life. He goes somewhere and he brings a solution that's beyond the natural, right? And obviously, if you kind of read the Bible, maybe you're new to this, but start reading the New Testament, start in, you know, in one of the Gospels, you just see Jesus going around doing crazy stuff. But then think of the disciples being like, right, I'm a disciple. I'm supposed to be doing that one day. Like, that was the point, right? As a disciple, it's not just a church attendee who just hangs around church. A disciple was someone who was going to be with Jesus, following him. Andrew, you have this nice phrase of gathering the dust of the footsteps, right, of the rabbi, because they would walk those sandy roads and, you know, you'd be close to him, you'd be talking. What does that mean? What did you say earlier? You said, love your neighbor. Okay, that's fine. Love your enemy. I don't understand that. But they would walk along the road and talk about it, talk it through. Oh, right, I understand. Oh, this is who God is. You talk about God as your father? That's crazy. No. He is your father. Actually, Jesus says, he's our father. Where does that happen? Of course, he sits on a mountainside and he preaches. But then as they walk along the road, they're talking. They're finding this out, right? They're disciples. And then they go to these weddings and Jesus does practical miracles and solves issues they maybe don't. I don't know if they had, maybe didn't have enough money for more wine. I don't know, but Jesus is there. And then there's people that have illnesses and sicknesses and Jesus says, be healed. And the disciples are like, this guy's crazy. Because they get healed. I find it crazy. But I know it's true. I know it's real. And if Jesus says, I'll send you another one exactly like me, called the Holy Spirit, right? We got that. What's he doing today then? And I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus. I'm going to watch him, right? I want to learn from him. I want to become like him. I want to do as he did. That's a life's journey, right? We don't tick the box of, I'm a disciple, I've done it. No, discipleship or following Jesus is a life's journey of discovery. And it never, or shouldn't never get boring. Because he's always up to something. But let's come back to those questions. Oh, perfect, Kurt. But let's go back one step. to who, what is shaping your life? What do you want to shape your life? Just stuff? Just see what happens to me? Who are you following? Who are you becoming? Or is it, and I've come to that conviction, I want to be like Jesus. I want him to shape my life because he's got some values that are really, really good. And he's got some ways of looking at things that are impossible because he says, love your enemy, forgive those who persecute, bless those who persecute. He's got some crazy stuff, right? I've been reading through the first 11 chapters of Matthew recently, trying to map out, so what did Jesus tell me to do? What did he say? And I was like, oh, wow, there's some amazing statements. Yes, he said, love your neighbor. He said, love your enemy too. It's like, how do I do that? But I want to become like that. But then I mentioned the Holy Spirit. He then helps us to become like that as we're spending time with him. But it's important to be intentional about it. And I heard someone say recently, and he also talks about it here, but if we're not intentional with our walk with God, the world will just shape us. Because we're so immersed in it, you know, at work, or I see some of you nodding, just things happening around us. You will become a certain way, shaped by certain things. And some things are our choice, the way we become, other things just happen to us. But what we want to do, or what I've committed myself to do, and I hope you're on that same page, is I want to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, you can say Christian, fine, but be more than a church attendance, right? Be more than just a Christian. Be someone who says, I've set my heart to follow Jesus, to be with him, to become like him, to do as he did. Now, I'm going to use some more modern language and something that we would say as a church, we feel like God's highlighting those three words and what it means to follow him, but what it means now. If you go to the next one, Kurt, that's three words. Yeah, next one. It's slightly different language. Because a lot of what I said is, okay, fine, then I read my Bible and become like him. That's true, right? And we're all on that journey. But here's some words that as a wider church, we believe like God's highlighting and it's important for us to take hold of. And I'm just going to unpack them a little bit. I'm just going to raise the level of what it means to be living as a follower of Jesus, but be effective and fruitful, not just, oh, I've got a tag on my shoulder, right? And one of those words is living awakened. Some people would say, oh, I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago, and that moment was awesome, or maybe 2 years ago, 2 months ago, I don't know. That moment was awesome. I really felt like, you know, from death to life, we know those things, right? And I've come alive spiritually. And that's what the Bible says. When you give your life to Christ and say, I want to follow you, I believe in you as Lord and Savior, and you mentioned that earlier, something happens in you. You cross over from death to life, right? He's not just a great teacher. He's the Savior. We were singing that earlier. So there's a lot that happens in that moment. But so often people just refer to, oh, once something happened to me, it was really good. Now I just go along. Actually, what we feel like God is saying is that it's important for us to live awakened. That not just, I was once awakened, that was really nice, but now I'm alive, I'm awake, I pick things up. I know what God's saying, right? We talk about the Holy Spirit. Jesus might not be physically here, but we believe by his Spirit, he is in me or in you, right? So thank you, Lord, I can live awake today. What are you saying? What are you doing? If you were physically walking, we had this in the prayer meeting, what would I be watching? What would I be seeing right now? The problem is, someone, you said it earlier, we can't physically see him, so maybe we're not so aware. But as a follower of him, I want to be aware. I want to be like, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? There's a scripture. It's come on, also going to come up on the screen. And I know a few of you heard me talk about this before, but it's grabbing my attention like nothing else at the moment. And it's in John 5, verse 19 to 20. And Jesus says to them, so they just ask him, like, how do you have that authority? How do you have that power? You heal those people. You drive out kind of evil spirits and stuff. Where do you get that from? It's supernatural. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, what a word. The Son, he, Jesus, the Son of God, he can do nothing of himself, of his own accord. So he's putting himself in the same boat. Well, I'm not that different to you. It's not me by myself. But then the second part of the verse says, unless it is something I see the Father doing, for whatever things the Father does, the Son, him, Jesus, in turn also does the same way. So Jesus is watching. Jesus looking. He's living awakened, right? But the word see, I used to read that and I thought, yeah, but I don't see, God, what you're doing. I don't have this great vision right now of like, and that's fine. But the word can also mean perceive or understand or get a hint of or to discern. And that makes it a bit more accessible, I find. Right, so if you believe you have the Holy Spirit and I'm in a conversation with you or I'm doing this right now or just going through life, going to a wedding, going to work, how do we see what God's doing? Sometimes we wait for a dramatic and it doesn't come and then, well, I just go about my work time then. But actually what Jesus is saying, no, I just go about and I just pick things up from the Father. I'm living awakened. I'm awake to him now. I'm aware. I'm sensitive. And then I just get a sense of something. I just need to be kind to this person. Or I just feel like they just need to know they're seen. Or maybe in your work, John, you were saying about what you're going to do in Denmark. Maybe there's things that, oh, I feel like we need to do that with a product. Or I just feel like we need to just check this batch of tablets or whatever. You know, there's expecting that sense of God's going to show me something. God's going to do something. It's living awakened. Or it's watching him. Right, I'm trying to use different language for the same kind of thing. It's not just thinking, oh, Jesus was on the earth once and, you know, I believe in him as Savior. That's great, but follow him now. Watch him. Be aware, be sensitive. So living awakened, it's not so much about one moment that once was, but living a life now, being aware, awake to the things of God with now revelation. And I know that takes practice and it takes a bit of, you know, effort. But to come more and more to a place where you're sensitive, that's where cool things happen. That's where supernatural things can happen. Because he might show you something. Or can you just pray for that person? You might be like, I don't know what to pray. I was talking about this with Kurt earlier, but we were just praying. I said, I don't know what to pray. Just start praying. Just follow those nudges. Now, the next word, consecration, a bit different. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I think we'll continue that thread a little bit more. Consecration means to recognize something is set apart for a purpose. In the Bible, that word is used for items or people that recognize, actually, I belong to God. I want to live for Him. So you can say, oh yeah, I once surrendered my life to Jesus. That's great, and I celebrate that. But actually, what about today? Are you living today in a way that's surrendered to Him, that's consecrated? Do you recognize, actually, my life is not my own to just do whatever? You can do that if you want to, but I would suggest that the life is in saying, God, I want to live with You. God, I want to walk with You. But then if you pray that, if you're bold enough to pray that, there are going to be some things that maybe He will challenge you on. Attitudes, ways of looking at things, ways of being with each other. Richard mentioned the Freedom Course. We're going through different topics, and one of the big ones is forgiveness, and kind of, oh, okay, right. But as the course points out, forgiveness isn't saying it was right what that person did. It's just letting them go, letting that go. Like if Christ died for us when we were still sinners, right, and forgave us. So when you pray today, I know I said it earlier, but when you pray today, you can say, God, forgive me all my sins, and He's already provided for it. Why would we hold that back from each other? So Jesus, you know, following Jesus, watching Him, listening to Him, He says, forgive and then pray. And there's even things on prayer where He says, I know you want to be heard by your Father in heaven, but you're not actually forgiving. You're actually holding on to some stuff. So there's going to be some challenging things. So consecration or surrender to live that also then means, okay, Jesus, I hear Your words. Help me to live those words. I surrender. And then the helper, the Holy Spirit, will come. So, okay, let me help you. There's that amazing story in the Alpha course, and we're looking at starting an Alpha at some point. But there's a story about forgiveness where that lady says she was in a concentration camp in, I don't know if it's Germany or Poland, wherever. And she saw those people mistreat her sister and mum or parents. You will know who I'm talking about, Sharon, Corrie ten Boom. And she said, but she escaped. She came out, something like that. You could tell the story better than me. Years later, she goes around to different little churches and he's speaking about God's love, God's forgiveness. And this man comes up to her after the service and he says, I'm one of those guards at Ravensbrück, I think it was. And I can't remember you, but I've asked God, I've become a Christian now, I've given my life to the Lord. I know I did wrong things. He has forgiven me. Wow, what a power of forgiveness that is. But he says, I've asked God that He would give me someone that I can ask for forgiveness for in person. And she looks at him and she just spoke on forgiveness or something like that, you know, the love of God. And she said, I can't do it. Can't forgive this man. And she said, I could visualize my sister, my family. How could I? I know it says it in the Bible, right? We know it says it. Jesus teaching, right? Following Jesus. But she says, as she, I don't know, talked with him, prayed with him, she said, the love of God just came all over her. You know, that scripture, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Again, Holy Spirit, helper. Good one. Good one. But she says, I could not, but He could. And He loved so much. And I'm sure they were all crying, right? But she then verbalizes, I forgive you. Not out of her own, right? But it's one of those examples. Jesus had many other things. One of those examples. We can't do it by ourselves. And if you really try very hard, I'm going to watch you and it's, I'm going to be amazed. Like, and some things we get right, some things we don't with Jesus' teaching. But He says, I don't leave you alone. I send you the Holy Spirit. So living awakened is, okay, Holy Spirit, thank You that You're with me today. Thank You that You helped me today to love those people at work that are really annoying or to speak to that person, to be kind. So some of the, what the Bible calls fruits of the Holy Spirit or attributes of life that come out when you hang around Him long enough is love, joy, peace. You might not be naturally loving and joyful and peaceful, but if you spend time with Jesus, following Him, being close to Him, wanting to live awake and surrendered, consecrated to Him, what will happen is you will change because of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Anyone know the other ones? Patience, self-control, kindness, gentleness. It's the presence of God. So it's not us trying to be more gentle. It's saying, Lord, help me. I surrender. Thank you for your help. And then I know that's a journey, but letting that life of God in you then change you, transform you. Just a little word. There was someone, Pastor Clive, our senior pastor, spent some time with this guy, a publisher from the States. And he's studying different ways God has moved through history and people have come to know him. He identified different ways things happen. He said some things he would call a renewal. People are blessed. People are excited. There's a sense of God's presence, right? People are refreshed. And then he says some people call then another kind of stage, you might say, revival. People are genuinely like, wow, this is amazing. Things are happening. And he says there's another stage which he would class as something like awakening, where people that don't know Jesus, they're awakened to who God is. But he says there's something else that is like transformation, where, I don't know if you've read those stories, where people stopped drinking so much, pubs had to close. Yeah, but the transformative power. So what God is interested as well, when we're following him, I hope I'm not raising the bar too high, I'm saying the Holy Spirit is a helper. He doesn't just want us to, oh, I can feel God's presence. This is nice. It's good. But he wants that to lead to a revived life, an awakened life, but a transformed life. This sounds a bit challenging now. But if you've been walking with Jesus and you're the same person now than you were 6 months ago or a year ago, maybe I shouldn't finish the sentence. And it's a challenge to me, right? But if I'm with him and my life's being transformed, who are you becoming? What is it? So fast forward the next 6 months, a year. What kind of life are you going to live? Who are you going to be more like? Like an influence in society, like all those things is fine. But are you going to want to be more like him? Do you want to do as he did? The last word is activation. And that's really that sense that it's not time to just sit on our chair and enjoy. It's time for that life of God to be activated and make a difference. It's that transforming power of God. So what does Jesus do? The disciples, they've been following him for a while, right? He had different groups. He had three close ones, then he had 12, then he had 72, then he had 500 he appeared to. So different kind of, you know. But there's a point where it says he sent out 72 of them in groups of twos to different places. Okay, you preach now. And then he says, right, check this out. You've watched me do it, you do it. You've heard me teach it, you teach it. So what does he say? He says to them, tell people wherever you go, God's kingdom is here. Heal the sick. Who knows the next bit? Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and are outcasts of society. And I think there's another one. I probably forgot. He says, freely you've received, freely give. And they, I don't know if they were excited or if they freaked out, but it was this progression of come follow me, just hang out, just come, let's go to the weddings, let's go to the, just hear me talk, spend time with me, be changed by me. But there's a point where he says, now do as I did. Not that you reach that and you don't have to do the other ones. They all go together, right? But there's a point of maturity, and we believe as a church there's an emphasis on activation where wherever we are on the journey, whether we've been here for 2 months, 2 weeks today, or 20 years, what is the activation in your life? What is the thing that comes out from you that blesses and changes someone else's life? Activation always leads to action. It's not just sitting and enjoying, as good as that, nice as that is, but God wants that power in you to transform the world around you. Amen. So I'm just going to go back to the scripture passage I read earlier. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself. So we're on the same boat in that sense. Nothing of his own accord. But, the next slide, unless all those miracles, all those things, all those incredible things, unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son also does. Unless he sees, perceive. Now I felt, when I was praying the last few days and also this morning, I felt God encouraged me to hopefully help, but to help us come into his presence in a very casual way. We're not going to have a song. We're not going to have something else. But in a way that hopefully you can on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, wherever you are, family, at home, work, chilling on the beach. I don't know what you do. But in a way that you're like, oh God, I can come in your presence now. And actually, let me rephrase that. I'm realizing I'm in your presence now. So the living awake, and not as in like, right, okay, I haven't really thought about Jesus. I need to now pray for half an hour because then, no. God, thank you that you're here. Help me to be aware of you. It's that kind of thing. But let me read a quote and then I'll finish and I'll just help us respond a little bit. Is that okay? So this quote is from someone from the 17th century. So I haven't heard that firsthand, but it's referred to in this book. He's called Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence has said something very good. And he coined this term, this phrase, and he said, to practice the presence of God. I don't know if some of you have come across this. To practice the presence of God, to be aware of him, to be, I had this phrase this morning, this one I did coin, but maybe someone else said it, the undisturbed fellowship. Right? So yes, you've given your life to Jesus. Okay, great. You're reading the Bible. Yeah, but it's fine. But the fellowship with God, Paul at one of his end of his letters in the Bible, he says, may the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that communion, that friendship, that companionship, but also partnership, actually, but let's not run ahead of myself, that communion with the Holy Spirit, let that be with you. Often it's said as a blessing at the end of a church service in different settings, but it's that fellowship, that walking with. So this is what Brother Lawrence said. I'm just going to read a few sentences before because it contextualizes it very well. Brother Lawrence was a monk who coined the phrase, the practice of the presence of God, but he wasn't the priest. He was a dishwasher in a monastery in the 17th century Paris. So maybe that connects us a bit better. So he was in the kitchen. It was busy. It was loud. Brother Lawrence made it his life's ambition to experience God in the chaos of the kitchen with all its noise, distractions, and busyness. By the end of his life, he said, the time of busyness does not differ from me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and the clatter of my kitchen, while several people are calling at the same time for different things, I possess God in his great tranquility as if I were on my knees in Holy Communion. Anyone work in the kitchen or in a similar environment? I don't know. Maybe your home is busy and people are calling and this and that. But how easy, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but it's so easy to just go through stuff, just do life. And then later you think, oh, maybe I should have prayed this morning. I forgot to pray. Anyways, so no, actually what he's saying, practice the presence of God in the busyness of your kitchen. And I know, Andrew, you do that, but you just say, God, I thank you that you're here. I just want to reconnect. I had a moment a few days ago where we were doing something at home and I suddenly said to Andrea, oh, I'm a bit, we have this word, I don't know if it's an English word. I'm a bit fiddly. I'm a bit like, I don't know what it is. Something, yeah, restless. Something just happened. And I said, I think I just lost my peace. I don't know why. I still don't know why. It doesn't really matter. But I just, and you went for a run, I think. And I thought, okay, I could just go do stuff now and, you know, clean something up and whatever. But I know I'm not going to resolve it. So what I did, I just stopped. I sat on the sofa and I said, sorry, it sounds really bad, right? I actually didn't really want to pray. But I also knew I couldn't just go. So I just said, okay, God, I just want to thank you that you're here. And I just want to be aware, practicing the presence. And within a few moments, I know it doesn't always mean it's that easy. But within a few moments, something just changed. And I was like, God, you're here. Thank you for your rest. Thank you for your peace. Then I walked, went outside. And I just felt I should just sit. I was thinking about today. I was praying for today, whatever. But just to be. And then Andrea came home and I was the calmest person, I hope. Anyways, she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I've just been with Jesus. So why don't we take a moment? But it's practice, right? Practice the presence. If you feel like, oh, that doesn't sound like me, I want to invite you to practice. I want to invite you to follow. So what about we just close eyes for a minute and we practice for a moment. Lord, I thank you that you love us. And whatever ideas we have about being a Christian, being a disciple, going to church, what does it even mean? maybe some of us wouldn't even say, I'm in that kind of, you know, but Lord, we just want to acknowledge you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Even though you're not physically here, you said, I will send someone, and he has come, who's exactly like me, the Holy Spirit. He will be with you always. So I just want to recognize your presence. And Lord, I just ask, if anyone of us is troubled, would you bring peace? If anyone's weary, would you refresh? If anyone has heard so much and learned so much, but is just missing that activation bit, but I ask that you would activate, that you would get that excitement bubbling of, God has something for me to do. And sometimes, I don't know if you do this sometimes, but I'm really trying to practice this, and I just sit sometimes and I just become aware of him. Thank you, Lord, you're here. Thank you that you love me. And then you might think of a scripture, for example. I'm just thinking of, he has good things prepared for us. Can you hear him say that to you? My child, I have good things prepared for you. I'm just going to leave it hanging here a little bit. Just wherever you're at, just try and connect with God. And if you don't know if you believe in God, just say, God, if you're there, just show me. Yeah, thank you, Lord, that your word says your spirit rests on us. Holy Spirit, we just ask you, would you rest? Yes, you dwell within, but you also rest upon. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And if there's a certain emotion maybe that comes up because we're very quiet, maybe you can just give that to him. Maybe it's excitement. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. But let's just surrender that. Just talk to him, or just say what's on your heart to him. Just, you know, it's a two-way thing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'll just round this bit up, but I want to just encourage you at home. Find your space to practice presence. You know, one thing that, if we think about, be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. One thing he did, he was drawing aside so often just to be with God, just by himself. So I want to encourage you, if this is something that gets your interest this morning, you're something inside of you is like, oh yeah, I want to know you, God. I want to walk with you. I don't just want to be a Christian, attend church. I want to follow you and I want to be with you. Become more like you. I want to do what you've been doing. Then I want to invite you on this journey to practice his presence. Just be aware of him, whether in your busy kitchen, like the Brother Lawrence, or whether in a quiet place. Just connect.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.